the opportunity. We were sitting around on Wednesday night there, and he said, and he was kind of looking. We were kind of having a kind of rehash of the last few days, and maybe what some good things we had learned, and we still had a couple days to go. But and then he started looking ahead at scheduling and said, "Yeah, we're going to be out for the men's breakfast. You and Josh can take it." And I thought he was joking, of course, because anyway. And then, sure enough, we got here to church one day, and he said, "Yeah, and David and Josh will be speaking for men's breakfast." And then I knew he was serious. So here we are. But that's I'm glad for the opportunity. I was telling the guys in the shepherd meeting how got a chance to share a little bit about the trip at home group, but really didn't feel like I could have gone on forever, you know, but because there was so much we learned and did that I didn't necessarily expect. And so this will give me a little bit more opportunity, but I took a while to ease, so I shortened my time. Let me just calm myself down and pray a little bit. Lord God, thank you for these men who are here with us today. I pray that you will be glorified in what is said and that something will come through that you would have for each one of us, and I pray you will bring the words to my mouth as you have always been so faithful to in the past, and we pray in your name. Amen. So, I have a lot of notes. I have a feeling I won't use them all, but I wrote everything out. I had a journal to go from, which honestly, this is kind of a testimony. When you go on mission trips, everybody says keep a journal, and I've always intended to, and I've written down the first day, something on the first day, and then never finished it up. So this time I actually made it through all 12 days, and so I had some material to go off of when I was trying to put something together for today. But the trouble is whittling it down. Let me just start. The purpose, as I saw the purpose of our trip, there was really kind of basically two reasons. My primary intention was to go to visit Mark and Marcy. Marcy and I grew up together. We were in the same class in our small Christian high school, and of course we've been brother and sister-in-law for 21 years. But we're great friends. We have been all our life, and so my primary reason was Mark's talked about several times the ministry of presence. You know, what the missionaries really appreciate, if nothing else, coming and seeing where they are, where they are working, the work they are doing, and supporting them in that way. And so that was what I saw my role as, personally, was to go visit and encourage and be a part of their ministry in that way. And I guess if there was a second purpose, it was really just to finally see Africa. And of course, Mark had a larger purpose that he had in mind. And so I always want to be a help in some way, whatever way I can. There, I don't ever really see that as teaching in any way, because I don't feel that's where my gifts are best used, but what gifts I have, but certainly I wanted to be available for that. Of course, neither one of those, at least none of that really had anything to do with evangelism in my mind, right? I mean, I knew that there would be opportunities for that, but I felt surely that Mark and Jeff could take care of that, and I wouldn't have to do a whole lot. Again, just because it's not something, it's out of my comfort zone, right? It's not something I do often or have in the past. But I knew Mark and Jeff were going to be talking about, you know, the four P's, prophet, priest, protector, provider, and a couple different times, or three. I think they had three times planned. But again, I had no intention of speaking if I didn't have to. And of course, you guys are probably saying, well, what kind of lame short-term missionary trip guy are you if you're not going to evangelize the world? But that was true. I was going to kind of try to blend in and just be a part of the crowd and honestly, that's where that's what I like to do. I like to build relationships. You know, I feel good one on one and in maybe a table and building relationships in that way. But the Lord had a few more things for me to do, but I'm not gonna. There's not a whole lot of deep theology in what I have here. I've got a lot of pictures. Honestly, I want to kind of hopefully point you to some things that you can pray for on the mission field. Obviously, there's going to be some pretty pictures. You're not going to pray for the sunsets, but I wanted to show you, hopefully I'll show you some of the some people that are there that you might not have known about, but that are doing an incredible work for the Lord, and so you get to see that. I really wrote out kind of day by day what we did, I'll skip some of it. On the first Friday we're there, so we left Wednesday, got there Thursday, their time, and after a long delay, and I think you guys heard about all that, but Friday we got there, and our first order of business was kind of an orientation with the group at East Mountain. I don't know about you, but East Mountain, the East Mountain ministry that Mark and Marcy are part of, has kind of been vague to me in the past, and so I really enjoyed the time there of getting to kind of grill them a little bit, ask a lot of questions, and of course observe all that they were doing. But the first morning was getting to know a lot of their interns. They have several, four or five, maybe six interns. And so a lot of what they do is raising up young leaders, teaching, mentoring, discipling young leaders locally and internationally, in biblical training, theology, and of course practical ministry practice. And so there's one young lady that was there they have a 6-week internship program and a 1-year internship program. And so there's one young lady there that had just done the 6-week and was moving on to the year-long program from Wheaton College. And then there were a couple locals who were there who had done the same thing, done the 6-week, and now were living there at the actual East Mountain Ministry house for the year-long internship. So we got to know them and kind of understand what they were doing. A lot of them are involved in, well, they have an actual certificate program, so they're going through some biblical training and have actual, you know, reports and papers and grades. But then they also have a lot of practical ministry, hands-on stuff that they're doing in the townships or right there in the East Mountain property is a farming community, lots of young children, and there's a lot of opportunity for, like activity ministry. We had a soccer tournament that Josh was a part of, where the gospel was also presented. So it was pretty neat. That evening, we went to. So anyway, this is the first day. Sorry, I missed my pictures. This is the first day as we were walking out into the farming community, and I just enjoyed it because it was Dylan, Caleb, and Josh, and first time that these best buddies got to hang out together, and it was exciting to see. And of course, that's them playing soccer. This is the East Mountain property. We did not get in the pool, although we thought about it. But if you saw all the pictures, we had stocking hats on and our full winter coats and all. So it was, that water was probably 30 degrees. Maybe, no, it was 40. It wasn't frozen. Very cold. But anyway, the property there is gorgeous. It's in the middle of vineyards. And so it is beautiful. The mountains everywhere and then the well-groomed vineyards everywhere as well. It's a very beautiful setting. This is the camp that day. I'm moving ahead of myself. But this is the camp that, let me back up. On Friday evening was what they call their braai. It's a South African term. It's basically a cookout. Everybody gets together and cooks meat. And there's a few other pieces of food, but it's mostly meat. And they love to grill meat. It's a common thing there, the braai, B-R-A-A-I. But anyway, it's really a glorified home group, what we know as home group. And so it's every Friday evening, the East Mountain community, the people that are involved in this ministry community, it's not the local vineyard community. It's the people that are involved with this the East Mountain ministry. That's what they call their community. So you have your food, and then they get together for singing, like we do at home group, and then share prayer requests, share a word from the Bible. Someone's got a teaching for that night, and then they did prayer requests, and everybody got together in smaller groups. And really, we're intentional about sharing individual prayer requests and praying for each other. And it's a really neat experience. A lot of different people that I had not necessarily expected to see. It was an incredible cross section of cultures, really, because there's several from the U.S., but then there's several locals, and then there was another family from Ireland that was there as a part of a different ministry that they had kind of drawn in as a part of their group as well. It was really neat to see how they all were very intentional about caring for each other. The prayer time was really special, really really deep, you know, and it was neat to be a part of. It's just really neat to see that. It kind of, you know, Marcy shared this with us on when we finally got to see her on Sunday. She had been sick, and so, but some of us went over to visit her on Sunday, and I was asking more questions. What's East Mountain about, you know? And she said, you know, I mean, the best way I can describe it is, this is what she said, is really kind of like Antioch. You know, we're not the same, but it's we're both intentional about raising up leaders, especially young ones, according to our best understanding of the biblical model. You know, we like to call it age integrated or family integrated, gospel legacy, whatever we want to call it. But we're both intentional about including our young people, raising up young leaders in the Word, and also we're both intentional about bearing each other's burdens, living in community with each other, sharing needs and helping any way we can. And I've seen that so much in our church here, you know, just how everybody's always doing something for somebody, you know, and it's awesome. Now we don't have a certificate program here that we're training people up and giving them, but that was really a special time for me to see them living that out as well, the East Mountain community. And I don't really have time to get into all the specifics of what they do there, but it was neat to finally have a clarity on how they do things. So I'm going to skip a little bit. Mark and Jeff had opportunity on Saturday while the kids were up here, the young people were up here doing the game day and soccer tournament. And you can see the gospel was being presented as well. And it's a great opportunity for them. They're trying to do this on Saturday so that they can get the kids to come to a weekly event on Wednesday as well. This is Kelsey, the young lady from Wheaton, kind of leading that. But Anna Briggs was really exceptional. She had more than one opportunity. This was the first to share the gospel bracelets. It's got the color-coded beads, you know, that give various elements of the gospel. But she's really in her element there, and I was very encouraged by her. You know, she seemed fearless, and it was neat. Of course, you know, it was exciting to learn from her as well. But I didn't take a picture of Mark and Jeff doing the four P's, so you can trust me that they did that. And they could tell you more about how fruitful and good the teaching was and the men that were there to learn. So on Sunday morning, our group split up and went to two different churches. I think you probably saw this in the email, but Josh and I and Mark Harris and his boys and a couple others from the group, from the East Mountain group, came with us to what I would say is a more traditional, what I at least expected was a more traditional African church. While Mark and the rest of the group went to a more traditional American type of church. But this is where I'm going to let Josh say a couple words. We'll see. See what his impressions were of the church. The church we went to was in a township called Kayamandi. And the townships are basically slums. But it's pretty poor. And, you know, I've seen poor in a few different countries now, and it's about the same. It's, you know, it compares with what I've seen in Boca Chica, although they do have roads, paved roads there in Kayamandi. But it's kind of picture that. I probably have a picture here of that, don't I? I'll skip through these. Okay, so here's the church we went to. These are the guy on the, I keep wanting to point at my computer. The guy on the left is kind of a younger leader in the church. His father is actually the pastor, but he led the music the whole time. And this is one. This guy Ken is, I think he was, they said he was the elder, or one of the elders. And so that's outside the church before the service started. So I'm going to let Josh say a couple things real quick. What do you got?
Well, I've never been to a church service that was much different than Antioch. So I think it was neat to see the church service, the church service, it was a lot different than here. For instance, here we usually sing about 5 songs and we stand the whole time. But there we sung about 25 songs. And we stood up for one song and then sat down. And then stood up for another one and then sat down. Another difference was where the kids, they came in for about 5 minutes and then went out and played.
What was your favorite song they sang? We didn't understand it. It was not in English.
Did you recognize any of the tunes of the songs where they were singing in a different?
Anybody else have any questions for Josh? Can you think of any questions that you might, maybe about the church service?
What did they sing in Afrikaans?
I think it was Isikosa. Isn't that what it is?
Can you say it? Can you say it right?
Isikosa.
Oh, you got it. They have a lot of clicks in their language, so it's Isi Osa. It's the C sound is actually spelled XH, and it's a Osa. Kosa. Anyway, Osa. So it was Kosa.
Kinda.
Soccer.
Yeah.
Soccer's a universal language, right?
Yeah.
It was. I skipped back. How do you go back on this? There we go. You can see that there were a couple of girls that were just as into it as the guys. She's wearing those little flat shoes like are in style, but she was just as good as anybody else. Anyway, but yeah, we've heard that before. Soccer is a universal language. It's you don't have to talk to have a common bond there. All right, thanks, Bob. Good job. Where are you going, Heidi? So this is, like Josh said, it was pretty fun. The music was amazing. I don't ever want to hear anybody complain about how long we had to stand here. Okay. Now, granted, they gave us a break between every song. It was about 5 seconds, and then someone would start another song, and we'd all jump back up. And it was awesome, though. They would. And Ken, the guy, I'm sorry, his Star is what he went by. He had obviously a different name, but he was leading the song, and he said, "Okay, and we're going to sing just one more song. Does anybody have a song?" And of course, one of the ladies usually would start up in this beautiful voice, and we'd all stand. Ken over here would stand back up, and we would all follow his lead, and we'd stand up and start singing again. And it truly went on. Star probably said we're going to sing one more song at least 10 times, but we sang probably 25 songs. He was not exaggerating. We stood up and we sat down. We stood up and we sat down. But it was beautiful. There wasn't. What's that? They wanted a band. They talked about that, and that's another story about how their status in having a band, And so they want to get to the band stage, but they don't have it yet. They don't have the money yet. But no, it was uphill. There was nothing. There was nothing. And that day, that morning, they have a load shedding. They call it load shedding, where kind of like rolling blackouts, You don't always have electricity, and so that happened that morning during service, and so they didn't even have a microphone for quite a while, and so but we just went with it, And it's beautiful. Acapella is beautiful anytime, in my opinion, but it's also, especially in another language, that is beautiful on its own. So I probably need to move on. Although this was my first opportunity to get out of my comfort zone. They had warned me ahead of time that I would probably, in a church service, when you're a guest down there, they often will invite you to say a word and want you to, and obviously can't turn it down. So, and I had been told that and warned that, but I hadn't prepared anything. So, but you know what? He asked me, and I said, there wasn't any fear, And so I was... One of the reasons is because, honestly, it was our encouragement this summer to memorize a passage of Psalm 119. Our family had chosen one that we'd been working on it, and it was appropriate for the time. And so immediately it came to mind, and I went up there, and And there was no translation, so they may have understood it. I don't know. But you know, I was able to testify that God is good. God is good and does good. Even in our affliction, which is the section we have, 119, 65 through 72. It is good that I've been afflicted when I have, because even though my affliction obviously doesn't translate to their affliction down there in the midst of such poverty, but it was a great opportunity to give that testimony, and God was faithful to bring it to mind. So I was thankful for that. I need to see what time it is. This is, like Josh said, this is what the kids did. The boys did. This is before the service, but they carried on pretty much throughout the service, playing marbles outside. And it was funny because Star and Ken had both been at the pastor's conference the day before, learning about how intentional we need to be in as fathers in leading our family. And if we can keep them in church, keep them in church with us. And they came in, but they left pretty quick. So the kids, but they heard. The lesson was certainly well received as well, so I think they're going to work on it. This is Jeff Aiken, got to preach there that day, and his sermon was actually very appropriate. It was on Rahab, and you know, it kind of goes through the genealogy of Christ, starting at the genealogy. That was his starting point. You know, all these. No, I'm sorry. It was Hebrews 11 talks about the long line of faithful witnesses and faithful saints, and then all of a sudden it gets to Rahab, and so his point was. You know, if God can use Rahab in the line of Christ, can He not use you in some way, right? And He will. He will if you will be obedient. And so it actually ended up being a very appropriate sermon, I believe. This is the pastor. He came up afterwards. So Jeff preached for, we sang for, it was probably an hour. And Jeff, then we had the testimonies, and Jeff preached a little bit. Then the pastor, we thought the service was over. The pastor came up, and he really got going in his language. And then all of a sudden, this young lady, probably 30-something. It's actually, I keep pointing to my computer. This young lady up here ended up coming forward. You know, he went on for a long time, and it was clear he was trying to, I don't know if it was an altar call or what, but so she ended up coming forward. And so then she put her hands up. He had her put her hands up. She had her back to us. And so he's there, and he started praying over her. And he started moving his hands, you know, and over her head, her arms. And I honestly thought we were getting to the healing service of some kind. I truly thought he was going to put his hand on her and push her over. Not that I've ever seen that in person, but I've seen it on TV. And of course, I couldn't understand language. So that's what I thought was happening, because he was really going. But he never did that, and it turns out in the end, as we understood it from the folks we were with, she was coming forward to give her heart to Christ. She'd heard this, I believe she'd heard the essence of the sermon, and was coming forward to surrender to Him. And so it was really neat to watch the young people come and greet her and welcome her into the family, and then to hear that you know, that word that Jeff had brought was actually God used that to save a soul. And I thought that was pretty neat. Hadn't expected that. So moving on, yes, you asked the question if it was easy for Josh to make friends. All he had to do was stand there, offer his hand out, and this little girl wanted to give him a high five. She kept switching hands, give him a high five on this one, high five on that one, and it was sweet. You can just see they're both having fun. I'm going to move ahead. This is just pretty scenery. We went to climb on the day we were leaving Mark and Marcy. He took us on an early morning hike to up Lion's Head Mountain, and it was hard and strenuous, but beautiful. You can see this is before the sun had actually risen. This is a panorama shot, just gorgeous, and there's a few more. It was actually a really hard climb, and you can see the footholds and the chains. So we were actually in a little danger, but Josh led the way. I couldn't hold him back. He would not go slower. Yeah, that's right. So you can see this is looking down at Anna and Susanna, and you can see, I mean, it's straight up. And I think this is the point where a few people of our group stopped and valued their lives more than we did. So, but it was fun and worth it.
Did you have to go down the same way?
Yeah, exactly. That was worse because it was slippery going down. It wasn't so bad coming up. This is a view from close to the top, not to the top yet, but close to the top. That's Table Mountain. If you've heard of that, if you ever looked on anything, Googled South Africa, you probably saw something about Table Mountain. That's Table Mountain over there. And we were on Lion's Head. Just a gorgeous view. That's as the sun is rising. The people on the right there are celebrating with champagne someone's birthday. And it was funny. I heard somebody, one of them say, "There's a little bit more left. You want to finish it off?" He's like, "No, I want to make it down the mountain." Anyway, funny story. This is at the top. Okay, moving on. I need to move on. So this is Young Ohm. You heard Mark talked about Young a little bit. He's a Korean evangelist, as you can tell on the right. Just an incredible ministry he has there. He's been there 20 years with African leadership, and I don't know, you know, Dick, I'm sure knows more about African leadership, and I know Mark's talked about it before, but that's kind of the umbrella he's under. But he has this awesome ministry, and his focus primarily is on helping the children in the worst part of the slum. So Khayelitsha is where we spend a good bit of time with him, and you can see he's vibrant, joyful, nonstop energy. Couldn't stop telling us about all the different ministry opportunities he has. And the Lord has used him in so many ways. I think he said currently they've built 27 daycare centers in Khayelitsha alone, and they currently have 60 VBS, what they call VBS things, and that's a daily 1 hour event where it's just centered around a house in the neighborhood, and the leader of that VBS will go around and gather the kids. I'll move ahead. Right here. So this is us going around and gathering the children to come to the VBS, and the lady in the middle right there is the leader in that area. And you can see them in a circle dancing, singing, and at the end they always hang. Look at those adorable kids dancing. And so then they always have a snack for the kids. They always, you know, they do the lesson, and then they always bring a snack. It's really neat to watch Young and his wife. They're so selfless. And several times I saw Young in this particular setting. He was off over to the side, and he had gotten some of that ointment we had taken over with us, and he was rubbing it in the kids' heads. He just called one over at a time, very quietly, and they have sores or disease on their head, and he was just rubbing the ointment on it. There were other times when I saw him doing the dirty work that nobody else would do or would think to do necessarily. And he cares about the people having hearing the word of God, and he wants to create a setting where they feel comfortable and loved, and they don't get love at home necessarily. And so he wants that for the kids, and he's it's neat to see him how he does it. For all his talk and excitement about all the things. I won't say the things he's done, but he has done a lot, right? But the Lord has used him to do a lot, and so he's got so much to testify of how God has used him. But then I see him doing the little things too. He's very humble at the same time. So let me go back real quick to we'll run out of time. I don't want to neglect to say this, because this was actually the most impactful time to me, was being at this high school in Khayelitsha. They said outside the fence we were not safe. But inside, obviously, at the school, it was perfectly fine. But we had seven class periods of this age children. We had the whole class. We were told we had the whole class. And this guy back here, Paul Kim, is the leader of coordinator, along with this guy's name is Pumzile. They teach character first in the schools, character first education, and it's a curriculum they have, emphasizing biblical character traits. And so he had come and told us the night before, here's what you need to do tomorrow. You want to start with introducing yourselves, then maybe sing a song, a couple people give a testimony, and then someone give a little longer teaching about a biblical character trait that you choose, maybe one of the fruits of the Spirit or something. So we did this seven times, and It was exhausting, I'll be honest. But this was the place where I had not expected to be so stretched. But there were some unknowns. You know, going into it, we did not know how the structure of the day would be. And I woke up several times that night. I wasn't nervous, but I don't necessarily deal with unknowns very well. You know, I like structure, right? I'm an accountant. We have steps that we take for most things, and so I like to know what's coming. It's a lot easier for my mind to work that way. And we just didn't. So, you know, I woke up several times that night, and I wasn't nervous, but I just said, Lord, there's a reason I'm waking up, first of all. So I'm going to pray and ask you to calm me down if I'm nervous and give me the words to say tomorrow. Whatever comes, I know that you have been faithful always and will again. So just help me to rely on that and say whatever you give me. And so I felt comfortable leading a song because I don't mind getting up, as you know, getting up and singing a goofy song. So we sang River of Life. You've heard that, right? River of Life flowing out of me makes a lane to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's doors and sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well. Gush, 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 gush. You know, so we do the motions and we had a great time. Kids had a great time with that and I felt comfortable with that. Then we did introductions. I'm sorry, that was after the introductions, but then Mark, the first time, but Paul had said, focus on a biblical character trait. Well, Mark, I don't know if he's led by the Spirit or, well, obviously he was, went straight into the story of Paul and Silas, how it kind of ties into that song. He asked the kids, do you know of anybody who was in prison and something happened and they broke free, someone in the Bible who was in prison not talking about their life, but do you know someone from the Bible? Do you remember the story from the Bible where someone broke out of prison because of an earthquake? And of course, some of them raised their hands and said, yeah, sure. And so anyway, he went to the story of Paul and Silas, how they were singing at midnight in the prison. And the Lord broke them out of prison. And they were able, they had that river of life, the joy that comes from knowing that they were suffering for Christ. And anyway, he went on to present the gospel, you know, as to who was Christ. Christ was the one who came to this earth to bear our sins, who paid the price with the crown of thorns and being crucified on a tree. And went through a gospel presentation. And I had not been expecting that. And I had been expecting just let's talk about joy or love or peace, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. And so I started to get a little nervous then because I knew I was going to have to speak at some point like that. So then he did the next one, too, the next class. And then between the second and the third, he said, hey, you want to do the next one? I'm like, sure. And I was nervous at first. And then I got up there and the words came out. And I wasn't nervous. It's one of those, and that's what I want you to get from today. I'm not going to get to any more of these notes. I want you to get from today that the Lord will give you the words when you need them. I want to testify to the benefits of teaching your children at home. I know you guys all know this. We've heard it many times here at Antioch. But the reason I was able to do this, I've taught that story to my kids over several times because it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. So it was easy to pick that up. But it could have been any other story, too, because we're not that consistent with devotion. We try to be at home, but it has been a priority in our family. And so doing that with consistency and regularity, it makes it easier when you have to go speak to somebody else. Or it makes it easier any time you need to, you are given the opportunity to give a testimony to somebody or to speak to them. So that that particularly was my highlight of the week, and there were many, many more, but it was just really neat to see the Lord lead in that way. And then I got to do it two more times after that. So we had seven classes, and I got to do that part of it three times. And, of course, I was thankful for good leadership. Mark, who had done that instead of... Because I knew that story, right? But if I'd had to get up there and give a dissertation or whatever on love, joy, peace, I probably would have stumbled, right? I would have known something, but I knew that story. And I was just thankful to the Lord for how he led in that way. And and gave me that. So let me just read you five things that I wrote down here that I want to make sure you know, and things I got from this this 12 days. Always be ready to give a testimony of the Lord's work, no matter where you are. You don't have to be overseas. Always be ready. And that comes with regularity in the Word, right? And do devotions with your family. The benefits are not always immediate in your kids, but also in yourself, right? You don't know when you're going to need it later. The teaching that you're giving them now, you may need later. That was very clear to me. It's a long-term benefit. God can and will use anybody. Again, that was the essence of Jeff's sermon, and I saw it used in my own life while we were there. God can and will use anybody. And Young, one of Young's, the thing I learned from Young Ohm, dream big things for the kingdom of God. He was telling us over and over about, he's building, I'm going to get the number wrong, 100 churches in Madagascar right now as well. He's in the process of doing that. 100 churches. I probably have the number wrong, but it's a lot of churches. It's many, many churches. And so dream big things. He's done a lot because he's been willing to be used by God. And then, again, you and I are called to be missionaries right here where we are, too, not just overseas. And I know we know that, but it was a good reminder to me to come back. And I don't have to be in a school however many miles away it was, 8,000 miles away, to be able to speak the word of God to somebody anywhere. So I think we're out of time, but thank you for listening. I'd love to talk to you individually and tell you other things if you care or if you want to know. So, but thanks for coming, guys.